A reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul's use of his freedom. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. The need for self-discipline. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
So some of you will know that I'm originally from Argentina, and when you come from a different country into a different culture, so we moved 10 years ago, you realize some of the things in the culture that are different to where you come from. And one of the things I found is that there are certain things people don't talk about. I recognize this week, or last week, I was speaking to a church member about the elections. And I kind of slipped in like, oh, and who did you vote for? And like, we don't ask those questions. And for me, it was very natural. I think after being here 10 years, I probably have never asked the question before. And then I realized that there's certain things you don't talk about. So I thought as a joke, when I started our service at St. Paul's on Sunday morning, I said, can you turn around to the person next to you and tell them who you voted for? And I stopped it there. I didn't give it even a second for people to kind of panic. But I knew like people wouldn't like that at all. And because we don't like to talk about politics. And that's absolutely fine. The problem is we also don't like to talk about religion. And that's not fine, because people are missing out on knowing who Jesus is. And therefore, when I pose this question to myself after reading 1 Corinthians 9, I thought, who do I want to become? And I thought, Paul talks about this person, or he talks about himself being someone who is a Jew to Jew and weak to weak. And I thought, only a very confident person can be weak to a weak person, can't they? Only someone who's really confident in who they are can just be a servant to all. And who was like that? Who was the main person who was so confident he could do anything? Jesus. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And you think, like, you are the creator of the universe. Like, at some point in history, you created the whole of the cosmos. And then now you get these fishermen, and you're washing their feet. What are you doing? Why are you serving? And he can do that because he's so confident in who he is in Jesus. And that's what I'd love us to become. So confident who we are in him that we can be weak to weak. We can serve anyone. We're not here for status. We're not here for recognition. We're so confident that we know who Jesus is. He's invited us to follow him. We live eternal life with him. And therefore, we can do anything, because we're not here to be recognized by others. We know exactly who we are. So I posed a question to the internet to see who were the people wanted to become like. And these are some of the kind of famous influencers in the world, in Britain right now. And some of them are great role models, some of them are terrible role models. And there was also a bunch of YouTube influencers who had no idea who they were, so I thought I wouldn't pop them up. But with random names, I'm like, I've never heard of you in my life. I'm too old for that. But these are some of the influencers, and what happens is that teenagers want to become like them. And we all want to become like someone. Someone we want to become like. And I think if you think of your career or your work experience, you probably were quite intentional about who you wanted to become and did something about it. You either studied or did an apprenticeship or went into a line of work and were quite intentional about, this is who I want to become in my career. But I wonder how much intention we've put into who we want to become as followers of Jesus. Because the thing that Paul is talking about is quite freeing, is this full of Jesus who cares little about what other people might think about him, to be able to serve God and share good news with them. And I think, at least I feel myself, still quite far away from that. So the question is still, who do you want to become? And the passage we had for today talks about these two things, freedom and discipline. And it's quite interesting that Paul talks about himself as being like the most free person in the world. He says, I'm super free, but free to do what? And this is what the passage says. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So he's being free, he decided to be a servant, a slave, the one who serves everyone. To a Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. And he ends up saying, to the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might win some. And again, he can do this because he knows exactly who he is. It's not that he just kind of changes and is a different person in front of different people. Because he knows exactly who he is, he can be weak, he can serve, he can love, he can give of himself freely. And there's a big paradox of freedom in the Christian life, because when we talk about freedom in Christianity, we talk about quite a different freedom to the freedom that the world offers. So I thought I put a little brain there, because I went to look at some scholars and see what do they say about this paradox of freedom. Because Paul is saying, I'm free, but not free to sin and do whatever I want. I'm free from that grip that was on me, those sort of desires that are pushing me to do stuff that I don't want to do. And the freedom is to be free from those desires and those things that are pushing me to do stuff that's wrong. And I think that's really powerful, actually. St. Augustine said, you're always owned by something, either sin, and we're slaves to disordered desires, or God. John Wesley said, you're free from the power of sin. And what do I mean by this? What I mean is basically this, that there are certain things that control us, whether we like it or not. Things of our past, things that have sort of come alongside us, and they control us, and we don't even realize. And that's what Paul is inviting us, to be free from all of that, to be able to love God and love people well. I don't know if you feel captive sometimes to some of these things, but I recognize that sometimes I am captive of my past. I'm trying to live up to expectations that were set on me by like a school teacher. I'm like, I'm 44. I'm still like trying to own up to that. To like a teacher said, you're not very good at this, I'm going to prove him wrong. I was like, he said it 30 years ago, who cares what my teacher said? But we still have that in us. Really strangely, I'm going to visit my family in Argentina in a few weeks' time, a few months' time. And I always see my school friends, and I have a great time with them. And I generally play football with them. And I usually play football every Thursday, just down the road here. And as I was thinking of going, I thought, oh, I have to train. I have to like get a bit fitter to play football with them. I was like, I'm trying to prove to these guys who are like, they love me. I don't have to prove anything, but I just feel like I want to train so that when I play with them, in 2 months' time, I can prove that I'm still relatively okay playing football. That's so silly. Like, who cares? And I won't see them again in like 2 years afterwards. But I'm still trying to prove stuff. And I think there's certain things from our past from our family, from our upbringing, that are controlling us. And that's things like worry, things like pride, things like love for money, things like love for status, recognition from others, control over our own life. Sometimes we just want to control everything even though we can't. And those things sort of are captivating us and stopping us from living a truly free life. And I don't think this kind of description of how we live. I don't think we are like completely controlled, but they do affect us, these things, in one way or another. I don't know, where do you feel you need freedom in your heart, in your mind? What might be, if you look at all of this, what's the thing that most sort of is affecting you? What's the thing that's stopping you from being your true self, the person God's calling you to be? If I told you, how happy would you be to go to the supermarket tomorrow and share the gospel with the person in the till who's selling the stuff, who you have to pay to, or the person working there, or the person standing next to you looking at peas or whatever you're trying to buy? How free do you feel you are to do that? I'd be like, that's a bit awkward, and probably that's because I don't want them to think I'm weird. So I'm trying to have a certain status with a person I probably won't see again in my life, and who cares what they think of me, but I'm still trying to for them to respect me, and therefore I'm not going to preach the gospel to them. And that's really strange, isn't it? When you look at it that way, we can completely change our life by sharing the gospel with them, by sharing the love of Jesus with them, but we still find it hard because we've got certain barriers that are holding us. And I think it's good to name them, to recognize them, so that then we can be free of them. Last Saturday, we were in Hatchlands in the National Trust. I don't know if you've been there. We were looking forward to seeing all the nice, beautiful bluebells, but they had all like shrunk down. And I thought like it's still May, and they were all like destroyed. But really interesting. We were in the bit of the games where with the kids, and I was sitting with my brother, and we were just chatting. And there's this dad who had some shorts, and every time he went down, you could see half of his bum. So he'd go down, and you could see. And he told me, he looked at me and said, like, if that ever happens to me, please let me know. You will tell me if that happens to me. And I thought, like, yes, I will. But I wonder with these things, if we sometimes are controlled by something and everyone knows it, but we don't, like, and it's so obvious. I think sometimes it's worth asking the people you love, the people who are closer to you, and say, look, we talked about all these things. Do you think I'm controlled by any of these? Do you think any of these is stopping me from being free? Because I think the invitation from Paul is to try and be free from these things, to be able to love God and love people. So who is God calling us to become? And this is the second bit of the passage. He wants us to be people who are able to tackle those issues, those things that are controlling us, and to be able to fight them back. And he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes, and everyone who's sort of, and the word for compete is everyone who's striving, who's kind of taking this seriously in the games, goes into strict training. Intentional training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So what he's saying is, athletes have a goal. They know what they want to become. They want to be fast at running, say. And they train to do that. People in their career, they want to be some kind of profession. They train at that and they try and get to that place. We as followers of Jesus, we sometimes don't train at all. We sometimes don't say, okay, these are things controlling me, I'm going to fight them back. And the invitation is, look at the things that might be affecting you negatively and not letting you be free, and let's fight them somehow. So invitation is to train. The invitation is to train in what we're doing. So depending on what you're fighting against is how you train, isn't it? Depending what you're dealing with, how you train. So if you're dealing with, say, a sense of pride, which when I get a sense of pride, how I deal with it is I worship. I decide to worship, because worship is a position where we recognize who God is, and we recognize who we are. We recognize He is a creator of the universe, He is a savior of the world, and we are just creatures. And as you start looking at the beauty of who God is and how big He is, our pride starts getting smaller and smaller. We realize we are not that important. And that's how I fight my pride. When I'm dealing with worry, I fight it by reading my Bible, because I start recognizing the truth that God has me and that God is in control and that I can't control everything. And therefore, I go through my Bible and read certain passages. It will help me kind of rest in Him. So depending on what you're dealing with, there's a different kind of training. So I wonder, my main thing for you today is to kind of think, what is it you want to fight against, and do something about it. Does that make sense? So think of the thing that you want to not be controlled by, and think of a practice that might fight it. I was struck last week by studying a bit of the Celtic Church, which I didn't know too much about. And one of the things that Celtic did was, this is the 7th century, there was a group of Christians who had a real kind of passion for God, and they were in the north of the country, and then King Oswald was named king in 635, and he was a Christian. He said, like, okay, we need more of this. So he brought loads of monks from Ireland and different places to come to the north of England to evangelize. And what they did is they went through every village, and they were quite quiet, they weren't aggressive, but the people in the north at that time were quite violently, quite tribal, quite sort of political, trying to fight wars. And then came these group of monks that were just kind and gentle and generous, and they loved them, and they were able to share good news with them. And they found out that when someone was then started following Jesus, what they do is they realized these people are still really controlled by all these things. So they'd send them to monasteries for a year to be trained, and then come back to be able to be formed, to be able to be free of all these things that were controlling them. And I thought that's really powerful, because they realized it wasn't only about choosing to follow Jesus, but actually fighting these things that were controlling them. So Paul says, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And yet, by saying, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I love this image. He's saying, I'm not like someone who's just boxing, like throwing, doing stuff just for the sake of doing it. It's just like punching the air. He says, and this is quite a visible image, he says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others. And I love that image. He's saying, I'm not punching. I'm like punching myself. What he's saying is, I'm disciplining my body. I'm working these things that are controlling me, and I'm fighting them back. So I'm not going to kind of go and punch others. I'm just working on myself to be able to be free to follow Jesus. And there's two things that struck me about this. Is he knows why it's worth doing it. He knows what the aim is. He knows what the end goal is. I'm going to fight all of this to be free, but so that others might meet Jesus. And this week, actually, tonight, we're having baptisms in the evening, and I met with one of the persons getting baptized, who I didn't know at all. I met her Monday. I asked her, like, why do you want to get baptized? Because I just received an email saying, I'd love to get baptized. So I said, let's have a chat. And she said she started coming to church 5 weeks ago, and she comes from a background of a completely atheist family. She's in her 20s, and she's dealing with quite a few illnesses. And she said she had gone to a friend of hers had asked her to be godmother of a child, so she went to a service, and when she went to this service in a different church, she said, I kind of felt there was something there, and someone prayed for me, and I felt sort of there was a God. So she said afterwards, I went and visited a few other churches around my area, because this was somewhere far away, and I didn't really get too much about it. But when I came to your church, you were celebrating Jesus, and it said, like, that fact that you're all freely celebrating Jesus meant it was quite contagious. So I stayed, and I went for prayer. So she went for prayer every Sunday. And she said, now I'm ready. I've discovered God, and I really want to follow him. And this was the first time she came to church, was 5 weeks ago. And I'm thinking, this is what the gospel is all about. It's about seeing people like her who are hurt and going through difficulty from a completely atheist background, hearing the gospel and say, yes, I want to follow. And this is what we'd love to see more and more, but we need to be free to do that. And I'm going to finish by sharing another story. This is a few years ago. So my eldest son is now 9. When he was just before being 3, so he's 2 and a bit, we also had a 3-month-old baby. And we went to New Wine, New Wine's festival, where we stay in tents, and we had a whole section where, like, our church was, and the kids were playing with each other, and we had this moment of, we were sitting down, having a cup of coffee, looking at the kids, got distracted for 1 minute, looked back, and we could see our kids, and our son wasn't there, and he was 2 years and 9 months old. And so we went to check, and he wasn't there. And we looked around, and he wasn't there. And we got all the adults said, like, we can't find our sons. Let's go and find him. And we started walking around the whole campsite looking for him, and we couldn't find him. And so I ran, like, not very fast, but I'm not very fast, but as fast as I could, to the door to say, okay, we're going to... We told the organizers, I went to the door just in case, like, he can't get out of this place. And then we found out that a woman with a child had found him by the toilet. So he had gone sort of to wander around, walking to the toilet, and she decided that, I don't know, he had like a name tag or something. She decided, she thought he was in a different camp, but was just walking, taking him to a different campsite, which instead of telling the organizers, she just kind of thought, oh, I'm just going to take him where I think he's from. And we found him, but for 5, 7, 10 minutes, we had the sense of, we don't know where he is. And there's a real sense of desperation when you have that. Like, there's that sense of panic of what might have happened. And you're just running around, shouting to everyone on the tents, I don't care if they think I'm a lunatic. I'm just going to shout my son's name out. And I'm going to talk to anyone who's around and tell them, have you seen a child? Because I'm so, so desperate. And I think when we think of the gospel and God's heart, I get a feeling that that's how God feels about the people who don't know him yet, who aren't following yet. He's just desperate for them to know him. And I think, isn't it worth fighting these things that are controlling us, stopping us from being the free people who share the gospel for the sake of the people who don't know him yet? So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Just give you a minute to think about what might be controlling you and how can you deal with it. Let's spend a minute in silence and then I'll pray. Father, you have a heart for the lost sheep, for the people who don't know you, aren't following you, aren't in relationship with you, and we have a heart for them as well. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us be free from the things that are controlling us, that are stopping us from being everything that you've called us to be. Lord, would you help us name the things that are in some ways controlling us, status or pride or love for money or love for recognition or trying to please everyone. Whatever it is that's holding us, stopping us, Lord, would you set us free to be able to preach your gospel, love people, love you. In Jesus' name, amen.